Let's move into the message part. Okay, we are on the fourth week in the series we've been calling Senses. And the idea behind Senses is that we want to experience God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And when we start talking about all of our strength, there are different parts to our body that God has created us with to experience things in this life. We know those as our five senses. We can hear, we can smell, we can touch, we can see, and we can taste, right? I think that's all five. So far in this series, we've looked at utilizing our senses for hearing, to listen to God's voice, the sense of touch, how it deepens our relationship with people and reveals character traits about God. And then last week, we smelled a bunch of different aromas around the table. Some of you picked out some different scents. I heard the chocolate one was someone's favorite. Like, yeah, got some claps for that one. But that sense of smell draws into the emotions that you might experience. It's the strongest sense of relationship to memories that you might have, right? What I noticed in each of these previous senses is that there are varying degrees of intimacy that you can experience with each one of them, right? For instance, you hear noises all day long, right? You hear them from the faintest sound of the tick of a watch. If you listen really closely, you can hear that ticking sound, to the thunder of those fireworks that people are still lighting off since 4th of July. Right? Sometimes you hear them at night, in the middle of the night, and then your dog starts barking. You can hear all of that going on as well. You hear the background noise of voices at the grocery store as you're walking around. You can just hear the mumblings of people, even though it may not be distinguishable. But you can also sit across from someone around the dinner table and connect with them with their heartfelt expression of love and intimacy and have a deep conversation where you can actually hear their heart through their words. There's varying degrees from the mundane to the super important and deep and intimate when you're hearing something. In Scripture, we're told that God's voice doesn't often come through the thunderous, loud eruption of, "Hey, this is God, listen to me." It comes through the whisper, the silent voice where you have to hang on every word. And he speaks to us. For the sense of touch, you could accidentally brush up against someone walking through a crowded place if you're going through the mall or whatever. You could shake a hand or give a hug. To the opposite extreme of you could know someone deeply, right, in the way that a man knows his wife, even. The sense of touch can be from the minuscule brushing up to someone to the deepest, most intimate part of physical relationship that we can ever really know. So there's a varying degree in touch. And for smells, that probably has the widest spectrum because you have those smells that are pungent that you're averted to and you're like, "Ugh, that's nasty. It makes you want to puke." To the smells that remind you of your grandma's fresh home cooking, right? Or the ones that take you back to those times in your distant memories where you experienced satisfaction and joy just by catching a little hint of it. These smells can be off-putting, but they can also bring joy. You can smell these smells from miles away, like that dog food plant that we talked about, to having a little tiny perfume bottle where you have to waft it just to catch the faintest scent of smell. So they vary. And I struggled as we got to this one today on taste because I couldn't find the dramatic variation in food. This week we're going to look at tasting and we're specifically going to be tasting some food together. And my hope for this morning is that when we commune, or when we eat, we commune with each other. For me, to eat is to commune. To taste is to commune with someone. And oftentimes, we limit what communion can be for us because we do want to experience it all together, right? And we do it once a month out of tradition, normally, where we'll take a little piece of bread and we'll dip it in the juice And it will remind us of the Last Supper where Jesus told his disciples to take this bread and take this cup, take it, eat it, drink it. And every time you do it, as often as you do it in remembrance of me, right? But through the studies of what I've studied in Scripture on the Last Supper, it was so much more than that. It was so much more than one little piece of bread and one little tiny cup of juice. This really is, this message is the inspiration for this entire series, right? And I want us to really enjoy it. It's an opportunity where I get to allow my wife to use one of her gifts as well, right? My wife she's a private chef. She loves to cook. If I asked her to come up here and speak, she wouldn't want to do it. But if I ask her to cook food or make food for 50 people in a room, she's like, yes, count me in, I'm in. So this is one way where she is a gatherer, and she loves to gather people around, especially around food, because when people gather together and they eat together, an intimacy is formed, right? When you eat something and you enjoy that food with one another, community happens. And so the goal for this morning is to develop community with one another. Sometimes we have that tendency to sit in church together and not really talk with one another. So this morning what I want us to do is talk together and enjoy and taste some good food. So go ahead, we'll bring out that first dish. As they're bringing out the first dish, I want to read the Last Supper for us so that we can kind of get into that mindset. Now this isn't technically communion, but in a lot of ways it is. It's communion. And the remembrance part, Jesus did take bread that was on the table, and he did take a cup that was on the table. What you're going to be served is a focaccia bread with some marinara sauce. Let the bread remind you of the body that was broken for you in Jesus. And the marinara represent the blood that was shed for you on the cross. From Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 30, it said, and you can hold off on eating this until I'm done reading it, and we'll just enjoy it together because I do have one more prompt for you to share, okay? So I'll read first. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, I forgot I got it up here. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, 'Surely you don't mean me, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'You have said so.' While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.' Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Okay. The prompt, as you guys eat and enjoy a little morsel of goodness, share with each other, what is your favorite food? What do you guys like to eat, and where do you enjoy that? Okay. All right, go ahead and enjoy. I love the Brethren Church because we do this thing a couple times a year where we do, it's called Threefold Communion, where we'll take communion together. We'll have the love feast together, which this is kind of like a little love feast, miniature love feast without a couple of the other elements of the threefold communion. But we also do a foot washing during that threefold communion as well. So we'll let you know when that one's next one's coming. But this part is like the love feast part where we're enjoying a meal together or different parts of the meal together. So the next serving or the next pairing that we have together is a unique one. I haven't officially tried yet, but my wife said the combination is really good. So I'm taking her word for it. And it's going to be a peach, cheese, and honey pairing. And the tie-in for this is that God's word for us is as sweet as honey. And there were times this last week, this is just confession, I guess, or maybe more asking for prayer. I experienced anxiety this last week. I don't normally experience anxiety, but it was where you feel that pain in your chest and you have to question, am I having a heart attack, right? And it's just for various different reasons. A lot of things happening at my other job at school. Haley was having a difficult time with some of her mental illness, things that she's very open about and talks about. I myself was having my own things going on in my head where I typically sleep really well at night, but I was up at nights because I couldn't fall asleep. I had so many things going on that were capturing my attention. And during that time, I really had to rely on the Lord. And I found myself quoting scripture to myself saying, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, for he cares for you. And I had to lean into that love of God, allowing him to really love me. And it was during that time where I went to some of these verses. And I just want to read a couple of them. And then I want us to taste what it is to really taste the pure, the honey that God talks about when he says it's sweet to your soul. Okay. So in Psalm chapter 1, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Oftentimes God takes metaphors and personifies different, or personifies fruit or personifies food to represent what we are experiencing and what we are feeling. In Psalm 119, 97 through 104 says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. When we fall in love with his words become sweet to us like honey. When we read his word, the taste in our mouth as we speak the words, as we hear the words, as we allow them to infiltrate to the deepest parts of us, it's like honey soothing to the soul. So as we taste this next one, allow the taste of the sweetness of the honey paired with the fruit of the peach and the cheese to come together as this beautiful little combination to remind you of the word. As you're eating it, go ahead, if you have a favorite scripture verse, just share your favorite scripture verse with someone. If you don't have one, maybe a favorite phrase or something that you live by that reminds you of the goodness of God. All right? Go ahead. One last one, and I appreciate you guys. For some of you, I realize this might be a stretch. Trying new foods, new combinations, new pairings that you may have never tried before. I've never tried that one before. I'm still, the verdict's still out for me, right? But I love to try new things, new foods all the time. And when you can pair different foods together and combine the flavors, sometimes you find something that you didn't know that you actually really, really like. So hopefully you got a little bit of that sweetness on there and enjoyed those pairings together and shared some scriptures with each other. Okay, this is really how we get to know each other on a deeper, more intimate level. Now, the next one it might have a little bit of spice to it. So if you have an aversion to spice, you don't feel bad if you guys just pass it. Like, that's fine. But it is going to be delicious. I'll just tell you that. So she made a, let me see if I can get this right, roasted poblano chicken risotto. Okay. And it should be a very savory taste in your mouth, because I want us to leave with that savory flavor in our mouth, where God's word really does, when we are listening to God, when we're experiencing God's word with all of our senses, and we're doing it together in community, it should stick with us as we go from here. It shouldn't be something where we just experience it in here, and then when we walk outside of these doors, it's gone. God, He infiltrates our life, and that flavor should stick with us everywhere that we go. When we're going to the grocery store and we're talking to the person checking us out, we should be proclaiming the goodness of God, because that's what He does. He fills us. He remains with us. He abides in us, and we abide in Him, right? He should be all-encompassing for us. And with that, I have I want to read through the whole Psalm of chapter 34, or Psalm 34. The whole thing, because it's proclaiming the goodness of God. And it relates this proclamation to tasting and seeing that God is good. So in Psalm 34, he says, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him, and He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them." There are going to be times in our lives when we have to call out to the Lord. We need to teach people that God is for us who are broken, that need someone, that we need a Savior, that when we go to Him, He's going to save us. And at the same time, there's a lot of people that I've been talking to that are like, "No, my life is good." It's not good unless you have God in it. And when we have God in it, He changes our face, our demeanor, everything about us. He takes away the shame and covers us with His glory. And in verse 8, he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His holy people, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned, and the Lord will rescue His servants. No one who takes refuge in Him will be condemned." Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us, and then that last one will come on out. Father God, I thank You so much for allowing us to taste and see that the Lord is good. That the foods You have given us, the fruit-bearing trees and all the resources that You have provided for the sustenance of our lives is good. And when we taste, God, we know that You are good, and it reminds us of our reliance on You. And God, when we fast and we put these foods aside, the laying aside of the essentials says, God, even more so than food, we want to taste and see that You are good. and the pureness of who you are. And when food is reintroduced, we're reminded of the provision of God for our bodies, our souls, our minds, our spirits. God, you are good, and we proclaim that here this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's enjoy the last one. Again, it's a roasted poblano chicken risotto. Hey, can everybody give my wife a round of applause? Thank you, hey. She doesn't like to get embarrassed, but thank you, Haley. Delicious food. I wanted to end with one last verse, and then worship team, you guys can come on up. This is from Proverbs chapter 18, verses 19 through 22. It says, from the fruit of their mouth, actually one more, there we go. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. I have received favor from the Lord. Thank you. Delicious. All right, let's pray and we'll worship one last time together. Father God, I thank you for this fun service where we can do something out of the ordinary, taste and see that the Lord is good by tasting some of the things that you have created for us and allowed us to enjoy the flavors of. May that flavor, that savory flavor of the goodness of those chilies and the chicken and the rice remind us all day long as we go from here that you are good and we have to testify of the goodness of God. As that remains on our lips, God, we sing these last two songs together and worship to you. In your name, amen.